shit from Philadelphia!
You're gonna hate me because I come to your town and we beat your team.
You're now tuned in to one of the realest sports podcasts for Kentucky basketball.
Three in the air, good again!
And football.
The Kentucky defense steps up again.
Just an opinionated Kentucky sports fan podcast.
Maybe that's a Kentucky accent.
With Jay Hayes and JD Hall. Ooh. This is what we do.
Let's go!
Religiously Kentucky.
Big Blue Nation, what is up? I'm your guy, Jay Hayes, and he is,
as always, his voice of reason, JD Hall.
And this is the tabernacle of Kentucky talk. Religiously Kentucky, yes. What's going on, man?
Finally off work, off for 9 days. So
yeah. And I'm
looking forward to that because I'm working, I don't know, 12 out of 13 days at the end of the month. So.
And I'm about to go to work here soon. So yeah, back to work. Man. I need a vacation from the vacation. Really?
Right.
Really?
Because you went right back into work from getting back from vacation.
Yeah.
One day off.
Yeah. And, but anyway, getting ready for football, man. Football is getting close and
getting close.
All kinds of craziness out there. You got the Olympics going on. Kentucky is doing the damn thing and that as usual. We run this shit. Come on now.
Yeah, we talked about that Tuesday night with the spaces.
Oh, yeah.
That I think somebody brought up Kentucky's got the most alumni of any college in the Olympics this year.
Yeah.
So, definitely shining on
22, I think.
22 or 23, definitely shining a light on those quote unquote non-revenue sports at the University of Kentucky and what level they're really at.
Oh, I know. Huge. Very successful. Like the NBA, I tell people, you can't have an NBA conversation without mentioning Kentucky.
That's right.
That's the same with the Olympics.
And you can't talk about the Olympics without talking about Kentucky.
Right.
You know, I believe the first gold medal was, what's his name? Shaner from Kentucky from the rifle team winning gold.
Yeah.
You know, then we had the girl that won fencing gold.
Yep.
What, the first ever medal?
Yeah.
Or gold medal for the U.S. in fencing. And she's from Lexington.
Yeah.
And we run UK medical school. You know, so especially early on in the Olympics, there was a lot of success from those Kentucky athletes.
Yeah.
In those Olympic sports.
Yeah. I see Kentucky show out. We run it. Yeah. I mean, a lot going on. And of course, you know, this is the tabernacle, Religiously Kentucky. So that's what we talk. And we always talk good about our cats. But a lot of craziness going on, too. Miles dropping out of the Olympics. Yeah. Quitting.
We just talked about 20 minutes.
Yeah, we had a good conversation about that. There's some people in the middle like me. And then there's some people saying, she sucks. She's a loser. She's not the GOAT. And then there's some people on the other side going, I totally get it. I understand. They totally get it, and they totally understand. And I totally get it, and I totally understand. But let's call it what it is. She quit, and she has reason to do so. Now,
she has a very valid reason.
Now, I'm going to leave it at that. But on the one side I was saying that was dogging her out, they add their own stuff after that. And then, JD, you're on the side that's saying, I totally get
it. There's become a negative connotation with saying somebody quit. And that's why there's so much hatred for those people that keep saying she quit on her team. She quit on the country. She quit. Because they then go on to another level and criticize and demean her for taking care of her own mental health. So you've got to have people that are standing up and defending her right to do that and applaud her for, let's be real, the biggest stage in the world for what she does, stepping back and saying, I can't do this mentally.
Right.
Knowing what was going to happen to her in the media, on social media, if she did that. Right. So the fact that she was able to do that at the Olympics, when the spotlight is biggest on those kind of decisions, speaks to how big of a decision it was and how much more strength it took for her to do that than it would have been to keep competing if she wasn't going to compete at the level where she could do it safely.
Right. Yeah.
One mistake on the uneven bars, on the vault, on her floor routine, whatever, when she's 15 feet in the air and she lands on her neck, lands on her head, her life, her career could be done.
Right.
Because she wasn't there to be able to do it. And like I said, she was supposed to do 2.5 twists on her vault and mid-air changed and did 1.5 because she could not complete it.
Right. And I brought this up too. Now you're starting to see more and more young people coming out, quitting and saying, oh, well, I have mental issues. I got to deal with this mental issue. More and more you're starting to see that. Is that a cop-out?
No, I don't think it is. this, because we're in the age group, us and people older than us, who are always told,
deal with it.
You've got a mental issue, deal with it.
Just deal with it. Yeah.
Don't talk about it. Be quiet about it. Right. Just deal with it. So now the fact that we've got these athletes at the level of people like Simone Biles and Naomi Osaka that are stepping back and saying, I can't do this right now because I'm not mentally there to be able to do what I need to do. And they're talking about it is going to go a long way to destigmatizing talking about mental health.
Right.
You know, because it's always been there.
Right.
Because we talked about this. Look at Chuck Knobloch. Couldn't make a throw from second to first base. Just all of a sudden couldn't make the throw because of a mental issue.
Right.
David Duval, the golfer, I think it's his name. Duval, I think, whatever. Went from shooting a 59 in a round to not being able to make a putt on the green.
Right.
Rick Ankiel was lights out for the Cardinals when he came up as a rookie pitching. And then all of a sudden in the middle of a game, couldn't throw a strike and had to change positions to be able to continue his major league career.
Right. Now I will say,
mental issue.
I will say those things now, you know,
they're not good. They're
You're just missing a putt or you're just getting a home run hit off of you or whatever. If you're in midair.
And that happens. Right.
Uh-oh.
Right.
Life threat, life ending or exactly. Life changing.
Their issues were, yes, they were career ending, but they weren't going to change their life after their career.
Right.
If she suffers a career ending injury by falling on her head,
broken
or
neck
or whatever, that can change her life after her career ends.
Yeah.
Or end her life.
Yeah.
So I'm all about her stepping away and saying, I can't do this. And I will fully support the decision for her to do that. Because as a person who dealt with depression and who has kids who have dealt with depression and anxiety, I'm not going to demean or belittle or criticize anybody for stepping away to take care of their mental health.
Right, right.
Because it takes more strength to be able to say, I need help and I need to do something than it does to be like I was and not talk to anybody.
I totally get it. And I understand. And I don't look at these players any different. What I'm getting at is, let's quit making up words to sugar it down or water it down. You know, that's what I get at. You know, she quit and she had good reason to do so. That doesn't negate what she has done thus far in the game. She's a beast on top of it. And so I don't look at her any other way, but I hate getting away from the fact that people try to come up to soften the blow, if you will. And that's what I don't like. Let's call it what it is. Just don't add your own bullshit at the end of it saying all this. She quit and don't add, say, well, she ran from her country and she don't add that bullshit because that's the bullshit.
One of these assholes that are saying that have never been able to do anything at a competitive level and be successful at it.
Right. And they was probably getting their ass kicked on the playground, pissed off at the world.
And if we're being honest, Simone Biles, if she wanted to, would curb stomp every one of these motherfuckers that talked to
her. You're probably right. She's a beast. And I don't look at her different. And I'm glad that these athletes are putting it out there for people to say, hey, you know what? Maybe I need to get help with myself. You know, that's what that does. But let's just don't get away from the fact that she did quit. You know, people are trying to get away from that. And that's not right. I don't believe. But she had reason to do so. And then that's just what it is. But that's a big story right now out there. It's crazy. And I seen some comments on it and I was just like, no, just don't. I mean,
yeah, it made my head hurt seeing some of the idiotic things that were being put out there about this.
Right. Like Terry Brown would say, it's wild out there.
it's wild out there.
But yeah, man. So what's been going on, man, with Kentucky, man? Kentucky football. Where are you at with it now? Have you moved up? Have you gone back? Have you marinated on the thought of, damn, maybe they could do 10 games or more? Or where are you at now?
I'm still very optimistic.
Yeah.
Right. But until I see quarterback play and wide receiver play, I'm not going to be giddy, right? I can look at the schedule and be like, well, shit, like this is a very good schedule for Kentucky to have a lot of success. But if we're being honest, if we have quarterback play like we had last year, that schedule is not going to matter. But I also don't think we're going to have quarterback play like we had last year.
Right.
So I think I'm right around the 8-4 mark right now, just without seeing anything from the play on the field. Maybe after that Missouri game, that'll change. two games in.
Yeah.
You know, if we see Gatewood or Levis or Bo Allen, whoever it is, it's the starting quarterback.
Who do you think the starting quarterback is going
to
be?
It's going to be hard to beat out the physical abilities of Will Levis, the way that he can throw the ball. But Joey Gatewood and Bo Allen do have a step up on him from being here in the spring, working with the wide receivers, going through the playbook, and doing it on the field.
Right. Now, people keep talking about the physicality of Will Levis. Joey right. Gatewood is not a small fry.
He's not.
So, I mean, I think it's going to be great. At the end of the day, I do think it will be Will Levis. I keep seeing pics of him with the playmakers, if you will. And that kind of puts me.
Yeah.
So I keep seeing pictures of them together. Blessing. Yeah. So I'm like, they're around each other quite a bit.
And you saw that beard. He looks like a dude. Right. You see the videos of him throwing the ball in the practice facility and kneeling down on the 50-yard line and throwing the ball 60 yards and hitting the crossbar.
Right.
Like, he looks like a dude.
Right.
But he was never able to get over that hump at Penn State to take that spot.
Right.
So I think there's obviously a question mark there.
Right. We need him on the show.
Shoot your shot. See if you get him.
So I can say, hey, Will Levis, are those Bugle boys you're wearing? Will Levis, look, we need to get him a deal with Levi's.
Hey, if we were able to pull that off, that'd be great. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I just saw, you know, four guys signed a deal with another Kentucky thing, you know,
yeah,
whatever they're going to do for them. But back to the quarterback, like, is this quarterback room the best quarterback room Kentucky's had since Stoops has been there? I think unquestionably it is.
Yeah.
Because you've legitimately got three guys that could make a case to be a starter
right.
at Kentucky instead of one guy who's unquestionably better than everybody else.
Right.
You know, so.
I always feel like when you have that, then there's the potential of somebody leaving.
And there's, I mean.
They're like, look, I should be playing. And
we got five scholarship quarterbacks.
Yeah. You know,
you're talking about Levis, Gatewood, Allen. Then you got, Kyra Shear. What's his last name?
Oh, when you get past Allen. Yeah. Yeah. When you get past Allen, I just.
He's also on scholarship. So you got five guys.
Right. Right.
That are on scholarship at quarterback. So obviously, if you're confident in your abilities as a quarterback, you're going to be like, well, why aren't I playing?
Right.
You know, I should be playing. So you're probably going to look at those opportunities after the season to move on and find someplace where you can compete for that starting spot. I mean, Nick Scalzo almost did it in the offseason, but he came back. So yeah. I don't know. I'm excited.
I look for that. Some departures, because someone
happens every year.
Because someone thinks they can play, and I like that.
There's always going to be attrition from your football team.
Oh yeah,
because for whatever reason, the recruits coming in being at a higher level and then overtaking those freshmen, sophomores that were already here, or you, for whatever reason, when you come in, you're just not able to compete at the level you need to compete at to get on the field for an SEC football team.
Right.
You know, so when I see transfers happening from football, it doesn't bother me because it has to happen. So.
Yeah, that's part of it. I'm really optimistic. You know me.
You're wanting to go 12. And
12 and 0. Yeah, that's just fun and games and I think this team can win 10 games. Looking at the schedule, I think this team can win 10 games. And what I am, and people are like, oh, that's just done. I really think this team is going to have a really big upset this year. Maybe Georgia.
I mean, I think this is the year.
I think this is the year for that to happen. Now, of course, everybody that hears this is going to be like, you're crazy.
You're an idiot.
Right.
Yeah.
I think
you're wrong.
Buy into it. Believe, Kentucky. This is the team that can do it.
But if we had quarterback play last year in that game.
Yeah, we could have done it.
Do we beat them? Do we beat them on the road in between the hedges?
Yeah.
You know, what plays in Kentucky's favor this year is getting Georgia at home.
Yeah. And we have, it's yet to be seen. We have quarterback play. But
we're expecting to have quarterback play.
Right. We're expecting it. So, and some playmakers mm-hmm. and some guys to step up on that. Big defensive side. Got some guys back there. Yusuf Corker is going to knock somebody's helmet off. We already know that. Hopefully, because I want to see that. offensive line, big blue wall. I believe, JD, in the tabernacle of religiously Kentucky.
You should believe.
Yeah, I'm that
part
fan.
Of being a fan.
Right.
Believing in the success of your team.
Right, right. I take it
and
a little too being, far. I think people
and
like
being an asshole and just saying we suck.
Right, right.
You know, so.
I never can talk to those guys who are like, well, you know, I'm like, oh, shit, here we go. You know, and it's like, no, I don't believe you. You know,
I'm not listening to you. You only believe in science.
But yeah, I'm rooting for my team. I think they can win 10 games, and that's, you know, I'm going to stick with that, you know, and I'm going to root for my team.
Right.
That's where I'm at. And I mean, of course, I'm on the other side, the basketball side. Of course, everybody will say 40-0. Yeah. Woo. Of course. Why not? That's just having fun. You know, I think that team can run deep as well. And I'm really high and Absolutely. Excited for this team. Even if it's just going to the tournament, that's a totally turnaround. And, you know, we talk to some of these guys, some of these sports writers, and you know, we try to have fun, but don't get it misunderstood. You know, that's just fandom and believing in our team. I think this team, actually the basketball team, can run to the Final Four. So
I think if everything plays out the way that we expect it to with the players that have come in, and if we get good front court play, absolutely we can.
Right.
You know, I see all these, when Kofi went back to Illinois, you know, all these people saying how big of a mistake it was and all that stuff, where I'm just like, well, when Davion Mintz came back, everybody was like, that, well, that's the spot, that's the part that we needed. That's what we needed. We, after last season, we just need better guard play.
Right.
We need better shooting. That's what's going to get Kentucky back to the level that we expect, because we've already got Keon Brooks and Jacob Toppin and Oscar Shibway in the front court to provide that front court play.
Right.
All we need is the back court.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it switches and people are losing their minds because they didn't bring in Kofi. Like, how did you wanted this team to be an up and down shooting team.
Right.
And then you want to bring in a guy who's going to make you completely change how you're going to play from the roster that you built in the offseason. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Right.
Like, even Jalen Duren, it'd be nice to get him.
Yeah.
Obviously. If he doesn't come, it's not going to kill the potential of this team.
Right.
He's able to play the power forward position, which Kofi could not.
Yeah.
It makes him more versatile. It doesn't kill what this team can be.
That's why I was getting at. I saw a tweet that they said if we didn't get either one or both, that this offseason was a failure in recruiting.
Right.
I was like, what? Should have been on the dumbest shit on Twitter. Maybe we talked about that, but I'm not for sure. But yeah, I totally get it. But
yeah, it's what are your thoughts on realignment and Texas and Oklahoma coming?
I don't have any thoughts on it. I don't know. I'm not for sure if is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing?
I think it's going to be a good thing. I'm on that side where I don't think bringing in more money to your athletic conference is a bad thing.
Right.
I see people talking about how it's going to hurt the non-revenue sports. And I think Michelle said that when you guys were rocking Kentucky Blue.
Yeah.
How? Tell me how it's going to hurt the non-revenue sports when you're bringing $20 or $30 million more per year into your athletic department to help fund those non-revenue sports. I don't understand where the harm to the non-revenue sports comes from. You know, Terry brought up last night when we were doing the spaces, you know, look at travel for non-revenue. Okay. You've got that extra money. Doesn't that help your travel for the non-revenue sports? Doesn't that improve how you can travel? Doesn't that help you improve the facilities for those non-revenue sports? Doesn't that help you pay coaches more for those non-revenue sports? So I don't see the detrimental stuff that's going to happen to the non-revenues with Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC.
And that's, I'm like, I don't know, because I'm hearing both sides. Like, I'm hearing that from you, then I'm hearing, you know, it is going to hurt the non-revenue, and then I'm hearing this over here, then hearing this. So I'm like, I'm right here in the middle, like, and I'm taking everything in, like, and so I haven't really made a decision, like, because I want to really look into it. And it seems like the money is always good, more money for your program.
Right.
You know, and
you know, people are always talking about, well, if you're Kentucky, you want to play the best, right?
Right. And I'm that person. Yeah.
The level of your program.
Right.
As a football program, you want to play the better teams.
Right. That's right? me.
You know,
that's
people jokingly the, say we want Bama.
Right.
You know,
I will say, I jokingly say that, but I really mean that when I say it, because.
And now you bring in Texas and Oklahoma, who are, if we're being honest,
yeah, they're up there.
A step above Kentucky as a football program.
Well, I don't know about
and
Texas.
Now you're gonna, and now you're going to have the chance to play and possibly beat those teams.
Yeah.
You know,
I like that aspect of it. I definitely like that, but I'm still in the, I don't know. I'm still right there in the middle of, you know, I'm not yay or I'm not nay. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. But, Kentucky Tabernacle for Religiously Kentucky Podcast. So yeah, I'm hyped up about football, hyped up about basketball. Kentucky's doing a damn thing in the Olympics, in the NBA, everywhere. Kentucky is shining.
USA won last night. I don't know what the score was. But Devin Booker had a little bit of a bounce back.
Yeah.
6 for 9 from the floor, scored 16 points. So, you know, Kentucky is doing it everywhere.
Yeah.
At the Olympics. So, and
at Kentucky in non-revenue sports.
And non-revenue sports, yep. Yeah. So it's summer. Summer is weird when we're talking about sports, right? Because we got to try and find things to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, Kentucky football just got a big commitment from the fastest kid probably in the country at wide receiver. Ran a 10-2-100 meter. And set the Mississippi State record.
That's something I used to run that back in high school.
And he's also going to run track at Kentucky.
If you could see the look that JD just gave me.
Where's the film?
Right.
I want to see the film. I want to see tape.
Right. That could qualify for our next segment.
it could.
Right.
So, I don't know. I'm excited for Kentucky sports.
I am too.
In this fall and winter, you know. Yeah. They just released the SEC, not schedule for basketball, but opponents for basketball.
Right.
So, once again, Kentucky's playing one of the hardest.
Oh, yeah.
Or if not the hardest schedule in the conference. So, like, to come back from last year in that 9-16 season, if they come out and do what we expect them to do against the schedule that they're going to have to play, like, how much more sweet is that going to be?
Yeah.
Seeing that bounce back and going through that revenge tour of 2021.
Yeah.
Right.
Sweet.
When you're playing, you know, Florida, Florida, Alabama, Auburn, LSU, and Tennessee twice.
Yeah.
And Vandy twice, something like that. And you got road games, at some of the tougher places to play.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's going to be a fun season, I think.
Right. Well, we have a guest.
Very big guest.
With big swagger.
Yes.
The one and only, from Oak Park to Lextown, Justin Rogers.
How you doing?
What's up, man?
What's going on? How are you?
I'm doing great.
How's your summer been?
Working out every day. You know, getting ready for the season.
Big season for Kentucky football that we're all excited about.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. It's a big one.
So, so from last year to this year, how much have you grown from being in Lexington?
I grew a lot. Definitely grew a lot. Just like muscle-wise, I put on a lot of muscle.
Right. I mean, like, how do you feel? Like, are you ready to go? Are you excited about the season?
Definitely ready to go. Definitely ready to go. Ready to hit the field.
Coming out of Michigan, you were the number one player in the state of Michigan.
Yeah.
Ranked number 17 in the country by rivals. Everybody wanted you, right? Mm-hmm. You committed to Kentucky pretty early.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, May?
Yeah.
Of your senior year? So, what was it about Kentucky that made you want to commit so early
in the process? I had teammates already that's down here. I played with Marquand McCaw in high school, DeAndre Square, and Lil Lee, so I already knew them guys.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had Ernest Sanders that was coming here. You had Deion Buford was coming here. So it was just a lot of guys from my area coming down here. So I just wanted to just be the first one just to commit. Then the guys just fell in line.
And Kentucky coming at you early, I think they offered in, what was it, eighth grade?
Yeah.
Did that have an impact too as well?
Most definitely it did. But at the end of the day, you know, they still had the same coaching staff. So, right. You know, Coach Stoops, you know, he did doing a great job with the program. Like, everything is falling in place for real.
Right.
You were being recruited as both a guard and a defensive lineman throughout the process. I guess it was reported Kentucky wasn't recruiting you as a guard. They were recruiting you to play defensive line. Did that play a part in you wanting to come to Kentucky?
Kind of, yeah. But at the end of the day, you know, I can do both. Mm-hmm. If they ever need me to do both, I can do both.
What side do you like the best?
Most definitely, I like defense. I don't know. It's really 50-50. I just like how I love watching the offense. Like, the guys over there at work and shooting over. I put in work with the D-line. So I like both. Just really learning from both ends.
Right. What are some goals that you have for yourself for this year?
For this season, you know, just ball out, you know, make her even bigger than what I came in as. So I'm just, you know, just got like the limit for me. So and
go down to have that opportunity, you know, you know, having to be counted on to replace a couple of big losses when we're talking about Phil Hoskins and Quentin Bohanna during the off season was and playing with them last year. Was there anything that you learned from those two guys that are going to help you be successful and be able to replace them?
Just the physical part, you know. New guys was physical. They know the game. They know the ins and outs. So I just, you know, just take the physical part and just learn as I go.
Yeah, because we're absolutely, I mean, if anybody's watched Kentucky football the last few years, the trenches down there on the lines, I mean, they've built something in those positions and have become one of the more physical teams in the SEC in those positions. And between you and Bully and Pascal on the defensive line, we've got quite a few pretty physical dudes down there ready to smash some heads on that offensive line.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
Playing in the SEC when you came in and now, what was that like? Did you have a reaction like, oh, this is the SEC? or was you like, you already expecting, you know, you're on the defensive line. I mean, you're getting down and dirty. Or was you like, oh shit, this is the SEC?
sure. I say Alabama game. That was the wake up call like that. We in the SEC.
Well, I mean, did you really have that relaxed like, shh, I got to step up a little bit. I got to put my thing in, you know?
Yeah.
You probably don't remember when Kentucky played Western Kentucky and they had their guys on Western's guys on the sidelines were like, they supposed to be SEC, you know, talking crap on the sidelines about the level of player they were going against. And then just a few years ago, I can't remember who it was that Kentucky was playing, but their coaches and the players came out and like, yeah, we won this game, but there is not a team that we've played that has hit us harder and been more physical with us.
That was Bama.
Than Kentucky.
Yeah, that was Alabama. Yeah. So Alabama's giving Kentucky praise. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Bringing guys like you in on the defensive line, all the offensive line, have kind of raised that level of physicality that we needed as fans to see and wanted to see as fans. So it's been great to see that change on the field with that level of recruits coming in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You got a nickname. Well,
sure. I got a few nicknames.
What's the family nickname?
Oh, it's Woody.
I thought so, because I talked to you a couple times on IG when you first came, but I'm glad you're here. What else do you got going on, like, NIL-wise?
I really been focused on the season, just really grinding just school wise. So it's really, I haven't got a chance to just really get around to it. So.
Right. Those things are going to come to you.
Yeah. It's going to fall in line. So
yeah, it definitely will.
Ready for the season.
Like I saw you tweet out that you wanted to hook up with guys with people playing PS5 or whatever.
Yeah.
You want to do some online. What's your favorite video game to play online? Because my son's a gamer.
I like
to play all that stuff.
Yeah, I like to play Madden. This like 2K and all that, no type of games.
Who's your team?
You're more of a sports game?
Yeah, like sports game. Man, I play Warzone and all that.
Right. Who's your team? Who's your team?
I love Green Bay.
I'm a Packers fan.
I'm okay with that. I can roll with the Packers. Yeah. Now, if you said Steelers or Bengals, we might have a little bit of an issue there being able to support that, but who's your team in 2K?
2K? I like the old school Bad Boys from Detroit. I like to play with the old gen.
I can understand that too. Growing up in Detroit.
Yeah.
You know, Pistons, Bad Boys,
Well, where can Big Blue Nation find you at?
They can find me on Instagram as AllAmerican_JR and AllAmericanJR on Twitter.
All right, man. And one more thing. Follow Justin Rogers, you know, on Twitter and Instagram. Now we got this little thing that we call reaction video.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a musical person? Are you just like one genre? Or are you wide open? Like,
I feel like I'm wide open.
Oh yeah, okay. This is just a reaction video to like, okay, you know, to see. But yeah, let me pull this up. So
while we're waiting, who's your favorite artist or genre of music?
I like Meek Mills. Who else? There's some people like from back home I like to listen to. I like Jeezy. Who else? I gotta see who I like now. I like Drake. No, Drake, he makes good music. And Lil Durk makes some good music.
See, guys my age, the Detroit rapper we like is Eminem.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm old, so, you know, Eminem, you know, debuted when I was your age. So.
Yeah.
I'm an E40 fan. Ooh. So,
oh yeah,
E40 was that dude too when I was in high school. Like, he's just got a different sound and a flow to his voice than anybody else. It's completely different.
All right, here we go.
I see a little silhouette of a man.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?
Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening.
Galileo, Galileo, Galileo,
Figaro.
I'm just a poor boy and nobody loves me.
He's just a poor boy from a poor family. Spare him his life from this monstrosity.
Easy come,
this,
easy
this
go.
Funny.
Will you let me go?
Bismillah, no, we will not let you go.
Let him go!
Bismillah,
we will not let you go.
Let him go!
Bismillah,
we will not let you go.
Here comes the breakdown, Justin.
Oh, mamma mia, mamma mia.
Mamma mia, let me go. Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me. For me. For me.
So what do you think about that?
Like what 94 when or 93 when Wayne's World came out, you know, it was kind of, this song got that bump to a new generation where I think it went to number one after that movie came out.
Yeah.
So, and it's one of my wife's favorite movies ever.
Yeah. That's old school. So it's just fun to see the younger guys' reactions. Like what? Oh, what is this?
Cause I'm sure you've never seen that video before.
We was debating on playing it. Like, okay, Jess is going to be like, okay. Okay, guys, I'm gonna go now, but I'm out.
Nice talking to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But man, we appreciate your time, man. Anytime that you give us, man, we appreciate it. Follow Justin at AllAmerican52JR on Twitter and AllAmerican_JR on Instagram. He's the man. We look forward.
Look forward to seeing NIL. Let us know. We'll be happy to retweet anything you've got going on.
Okay, definitely appreciate it.
Let everybody know.
Yeah, yeah. We'll keep it in rotation.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
We appreciate you, man. Justin Rogers, Big Blue Nation, the man. Thanks so much, and we'll be watching for you, man.
All right, no problem.
Thanks.
Yep. All right.
52.
I loved his reaction when it started getting crazy in that video.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
Justin Rogers, man. Follow him on Instagram. Follow him on Twitter. Great guy. 52. He is a big man. Swagger is through the roof, too. Great guy. And I can't wait to see, you know, some stuff he got with the name, image, likeness, and stuff. I'll definitely, and we'll tell you, Big Blue Nation. If you find out first, tell us. But yeah, that's where we're at. But before we go, we got this thing. We got this thing we got to do.
So, anyways, let's get down to the nitty gritty.
This is the dumbest shit on Twitter this week. Starting with your friend JD, old Nicky boy.
Yeah. Okay.
What the hell? Nick the Dick. Love seeing all the new Kentucky football fans and the hype, but am I the only lifelong UK football fan that gets a little irritated seeing all the new bandwagon fans? What?
In my opinion, if you weren't a fan pre-Stoops, I can't take you serious as a fan. It means more to us lifers.
How long these boys in for?
Man, shut up. Becoming a fan in the last 10 years does not mean you're a bandwagon fucking fan.
What? Like he's like, am I the only only lifelong Kentucky fan.
You are the only lifelong Kentucky fan tweeting this stupid bullshit out.
Facts.
My wife could have given two shits about football 10 years ago. But you know what? She's watching it now on Saturdays. You want to call her a bandwagon fan?
Right.
Because she wasn't a fan pre-Stoops? You want to call some 18, 19-year-old kid who's now a fan of Kentucky football that wasn't a fan 10, 11 years ago because they were 8 or 9 years old and didn't give a shit about sports on TV and would rather go out and ride their bikes and play outside?
That's just...
You going to call them bandwagon fans too?
That's just crazy, man.
Like,
I'm a lifelong fan. Family.
I'm a lifelong fan.
I mean, there's a lot of, you know, don't be so entitled.
Right, exactly.
I mean, you know, regardless if someone started watching yesterday.
It doesn't matter.
They're a fan.
You being a lifelong fan does not get to tell somebody else.
You're not privileged. You're not privileged, Nick the Dick.
And, you know, just like UK Wildcat in Arizona said, having suffered through what always seemed to be 3-8 seasons, it's great to see some success. Now welcome the new supporters and hope they stick, even if we have some bad seasons in the future.
Yeah.
That's the attitude to have.
That's our friend from Arizona, yeah.
Let's go. Bring everybody in. Let's go.
Right. Some more football dumb shit. David Waters.
Water sucks.
I'm not one to take too many shots at teams, but I just don't see where the Kentucky love is coming from. They were supposed to be taking this same next step since they had the great 2018. They have to retool an offense and replace 7 starters on defense from an average best 2020.
The fuck is he talking about?
What?
Let's go back to the last 2 seasons that he's talking about. Yeah, okay?
Right.
2018, they go 10-3.
Facts.
Hype is high. Everybody's thinking 2019 is going to be a great year.
Yeah.
Then what happens? Every single quarterback on the freaking roster gets hurt, starting with Terry Wilson and his patella tendon.
Yeah.
And they have to go to their 5th quarterback in Lynn Bowden and put him in there to run the team. And they go 8-5 and win their bowl game.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good season when you're on to your 5th quarterback and never threw the ball.
Yeah.
And every team knew exactly what you were going to run and still couldn't stop you. And you're running for 400 yards a game with a wide receiver at quarterback.
Right. Kentucky is getting better and better and better.
Right.
Like, and then you go, they deserve that love.
And then you go into last year and it's the COVID year, right? So everything changes with preparation, everything. And granted, all the other football teams had to deal with the same thing. But when you're building up a roster like you are with Kentucky, that stuff's going to have more of an impact on you than it might have, like an Alabama or an Ohio State or a Clemson or whatever.
Right.
Not to mention the off-field stuff that was going on with Coach Schlarman.
Yeah.
So
Kentucky going through a lot and still getting better. And they deserve the love.
They deserve the love. And they still went to a bowl game and they still beat NC State in that bowl game.
Facts.
So they deserve all the love they're getting.
And yet they don't, because then you have Barstool Sooners saying the SEC is overrated.
And he's only saying that because Oklahoma has never won in the playoff era. They've made the Final Four, but they quickly got kicked out by, was it Alabama?
I think so.
I think it was Alabama, and it wasn't close. So was he saying the SEC was overrated that year?
All I can say is the SEC is college football. That's a fact.
And if the SEC was overrated, your little Sooners wouldn't be wanting to come join the conference now, would they, Barstool Sooners?
And then we got Arlo. Here, boy. Here, boy. That's what it sounds like to me, Arlo. We got legit gold medal winners, but our entitled overrated basketball players will get all the NIL money.
I got money in the bank.
Yeah. Yes, they will. That's just the facts.
That's what happens. When you hear some dumb shit, you just don't have a response because right. It's just dumb shit.
It's that dumb. Yeah.
That's it. Like, right there.
That's it right there. Yes, they will. Them and the football players will get the majority of the NIL love.
Right.
That's what happens.
Right. And there for like a week, we wasn't getting no dumb shit. I was like, damn. I mean, what's going on? But
right, I wasn't
here, here lately, yeah. It's like, wait a minute, what? And of course, we have fun with it. Do you? We're going to do us. We're going to have fun with it because this is the dumbest shit on Twitter this week. And then we have Derek. My top 10 NCAA college basketball coaches list present day. Number 1 through 10, Jay Wright, Mark Few, Tony Bennett, Bill Self, Dana Altman, Chris Beard, Juwan Howard, Scott Drew, Eric Musselman, and Leonard Hamilton.
You're going to hate me because I come to your town and we beat your
and
team.
Then he said, and then he says, let me know what you would change or would add to the list.
And don't forget about his honorable mentions down there. Nate Oates. Kelvin Sampson.
Yeah, yeah. Honorable mentions, Nate Oates, Mick Cronin, and Kelvin Sampson. But what?
For starters, you got to put Coach K because he's still coaching.
Yeah.
You got to put Calipari because he's still coaching.
And as much as I don't want to put K in there, you can't deny that just because I'm a Kentucky fan. You can't deny Coach K. You just can't.
You cannot. You know, I mean, is Dana Albin really the number five best coach in the country? What has he done at Oregon? Has he won anything at Oregon? Have they gotten past the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament? I don't know. I mean, I think they might have gotten to an Elite Eight since he's been out there.
Right. And then I saw a lot of the comments were like on Cal was this year, the COVID year. Oh, well, you had a, you know, 9-16 right. COVID year. Nobody brought up Tony Bennett losing to a 16 seed.
Right. Which to me would be worse because you're.
That's a lot worse.
You went into that tournament as the number one overall seed.
Right.
So, and then you get bounced and not on a last second shot. Not on a Hail Mary three. You got beat by like 12 points.
Right.
16 points in that game. Like it was not close.
Right.
In that game.
And of course, it's a good turnaround story, which we get to have our turnaround story this year. But, right. You know, still, you made history by getting beat by a 16 seed.
Juwan Howard hasn't won anything yet. Now, he's showing that he may be in that top 10 list.
Good start.
Great start. Scott Drew. Just this year, maybe got into that top 10 list. You know, I wouldn't put Leonard Hamilton there. He's a great regular season coach. Leonard Hamilton is.
Yeah.
And he hasn't had success in the postseason, the NCAA tournament.
And he's had a great career, but yeah, I wouldn't have him on my list either.
You know, Mick Cronin definitely would not be an honorable mention.
Hell no.
He had a run to the Final Four, a lucky run to the Final Four this year when they should have lost in the play-in game to Michigan State.
You had a coached up UK kid. Right. That's why you had a great run.
Eric Musselman hasn't won anything yet.
Yeah.
You know,
overall, just a bad list. And that's why it's on the dumbest shit.
There are coaches on this list that I will agree with.
Yeah.
Any list that doesn't have K or Cal on it,
shit.
It's trash anyway.
It's shit. And then we move on to John Calipari talking about CJ Frederick. He says, had a minor procedure today that needed to be done at some point before the season. He and his family decided to be proactive and have it done now rather than wait. We are all happy it went well and he will be back better than ever and ready to go for the season. And then Greg replies, mm-hmm. Ticking time bombs. You should be held accountable for all these injuries to players that are still developing and growing. Everything is Cal's fault.
Everything's Cal's fault. Let's forget the fact that Kentucky is now fixing the injury that CJ Frederick got while he was still at Iowa that wasn't fixed correctly. Okay, it's Cal's fault he got hurt out in Iowa?
Everything is Cal's fault. This is getting harder and harder.
The mental gymnastics that you've got to go through.
Yeah.
To write that tweet about Cal talking about CJ Frederick, who did not get hurt here.
Right.
This dude should get a gold medal for that.
Yeah.
We're in Olympic season. Just put him at the top of the podium.
I mean, like, people.
It takes a lot of work to get to that point.
Yeah, people don't understand. Doing this segment, the dumbest shit in Twitter this week, is hard to do. Because, like mm-hmm. I pointed out, you know, you read some dumb shit and it's like, what
are you going to. Right. Like Jared Vanderbilt got hurt before he got to Kentucky. So, like, you can't blame a coach who is not involved in something for an injury before they got to your school.
But wait. It's all Cal's fault. Always.
Yeah. Always. Everything.
This is the dumbest shit on Twitter this week. There you have it. Yeah. It's always. It's always Cal's fault. Always. Yeah. That was
a long one.
Yeah.
A long one this week.
Yeah, that was the dumbest shit on Twitter this week. Great show.
Dumb shit right there during the week.
Yeah, yeah. Great show, man. Kentucky Talk in the Tabernacle. Told you, Tabernacle, it's going to be a fixture in my vocabulary now.
That's a new one.
Religiously Kentucky, come join the Tabernacle. come to the Tabernacle. No, great show. We got to talk Olympic stuff that's going on, Kentucky everywhere, Kentucky Talk, Kentucky football, Kentucky basketball. Then we had Justin Rogers, 52, big 52, stopping by. Follow him. Yeah, follow him on Twitter at All American 52 JR and on Instagram.
If you're a gamer,
yeah, Hit him
Look him up on online.
Yeah. And you can follow him on Instagram at allamerican_JR. Follow him. Great guy. He is big swag. That's why I'm calling him big swag.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, great guy. Great show. Religiously Kentucky. That's what we do. And then the dumbest shit on Twitter this week is hilarious. Did you hear that? Water sucks. It really, I did. Oh man, we have fun with it, man.
I caught that play on his name.
Yeah, yeah. We have fun with it. And that's what we do, man. We love our Wildcats because, 100%. Yeah, because I'm your guy Jay Hayes, and he is
JD Hall,
and this is Religiously Kentucky in the Tabernacle.
This was another episode of Religiously Kentucky.
It was great. Thanks for the hospitality.
If you liked this episode, make sure to give us a like and subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes and our opinionated take on the world of Kentucky sports. Religiously Kentucky.